Do you recognize this song by any chance, Wendy?
Smooth jazz.
It is smooth jazz. This was the theme to the television show we were talking about earlier, Playboy After Dark, a television show that when you watched, as a kid anyway, because I watched it when I was a kid, you felt like you were the member of some exclusive club. Like, I don't know how I got into this party, but I'm here, and I'm going to have a good time talking to Shel Silverstein and Nipsey Russell.
You know what? Anywhere Nipsey Russell was, I would want to be.
Why not?
Although this kills me again that you watched this as a kid and your mom was well aware of this.
Yeah.
You didn't even... it. She didn't watch with you, I hope.
No, no.
That would be weird.
That would be weird. Candace Jordan joins us right now. Candace, a former Playboy playmate. Miss December of 1979, I believe, Candace. Is that correct?
Yep. You are absolutely right.
Yep.
What page, Bill?
Page doesn't matter. Page doesn't matter.
Well, you know, I have to interject here because you said, did your parents know you were watching that show? There wasn't anything illicit about that television show.
Nope.
I mean, they just had great guests on it. They had great entertainment and, you know, beautiful women and great music. So it wasn't, I mean, there wasn't any nudity on the television show.
No, but you were 10 years old? To me, I wouldn't think a 10-year-old would be interested at all.
Oh,
that.
I was.
Nipsey Russell, really?
Yeah.
He was old before his time.
Yeah, good point.
Candace, right. First of all, I don't know how to say this properly, so I'm just going to say it the way I think it should be said. I'm sorry for your loss, but I'm sorry for all of our losses. Hugh Hefner was, without a doubt, a huge, huge icon, wasn't he?
He was a global icon, and you know, you're right. I hate the whole world is going to mourn the passing of this man who changed the way people all across the globe look at sexuality. I mean, you know, he was a champion of so many things before his time. I mean, he was a rebel and a revolutionary. You know, he was a gay rights champion, a human rights champion. I mean, he was a hell of a lot more than a men's magazine publisher. So I think he's going to have a pretty big and a pretty brilliant legacy.
You wrote a beautiful blog called Losing Hef by a Bunny Who Loved Him. It's available at ChicagoNow.com. Talk about that first time, that very first time that you met him, because he was legendary. You were a very young woman. What was that first encounter like with Hugh Hefner?
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember it exactly to the day. It was September 19th, 1975. And the reason I remember the date is because they passed a memo to the woman who was in charge of the mansion and said to expect a bunny to be transferring from St. Louis on this date. And I have that note. I mean, I am a hoarder, and I'm happy to be so because I've got all these great memories that I can remember to the minute what we did. But I remember when I pulled up, I had an MGB convertible, and it was like when I came from St. Louis to Chicago, which I'd never been to before, it was like entering the Emerald City, literally. And then to pull up on State Street in front of this beautiful mansion and have a butler open the wrought iron gate and say, "Welcome home, Miss Collins." Mm. I mean, it was surreal. It was what you could imagine and then even better.
Intimidated at all by his presence?
No, you know, I wasn't. I didn't have any knowledge of the history of Playboy. I just knew that I had a great job as a bunny in St. Louis, and I loved it. And when I was offered the opportunity to move here, I mean, you know, I was young, looking for adventure, and it was the perfect chance and the perfect opportunity. So I wasn't a bit intimidated. I was just in. It was magical, really. And what struck me the most about him was his kindness and what a gentleman he was. You know, there he was in pajamas, and you know, he had the pipe, and it was in the grand ballroom with all this ornate wood and, you know, backgammon tables. And, you know, you see celebrities drifting in and out, and, you know, see these beautiful bunnies, you know, draped across the sofas. And it was like it was a world that you couldn't even imagine. So when I saw it, it wasn't intimidation. I guess it was just kind of awe. It was just awe.
How old were you at the time, Candace?
I was early 20s. I think maybe 21 or 22 at the time.
See, because we brought this up before you got on the air with us. Hugh Hefner really changed the way we looked at the world, and not just by lack of clothes, arts, fashion, everything. It was really the hip magazine. And I feel that everything I've heard about him, most women speak very highly of him. And Bill, you said every once in a while there's someone who comes out who didn't have a good experience with Hugh Hefner. But for the most part, I think everybody really loved him.
I think that anybody who knew him well loved him. I think the people that didn't know him that well are the ones that are the naysayers and the people that are, you know, spouting all this ridiculous nonsense about him not liking women and things of that nature.
He loved women.
He was exactly. He was exactly the opposite. He was a champion for women. I mean, you know, people always say, you know, well, how could you pose in Playboy? I said, well, nobody put a gun to my head. This was something that I was thrilled to do. And quite frankly, it was an honor to be included in the magazine. And so, yeah, I mean, the people that didn't know him are the ones that are the naysayers, that's for sure.
What about Candace later in life, as Mr. Hefner got up into his 70s and 80s, and he was often accompanied by women far, far, far younger than him. Sometimes he would marry these women. Sometimes he would just have relationships with them. Do you think it was a 50-50 relationship? What do you think was involved there?
I think, you know, the more that I got to know him, the more it never surprised me that these young women were attracted to him. I mean, albeit, you know, the fact that he's got a famous name helped. But on the other hand, the way he treated these women were probably unlike any way they had ever been treated before. Like I said, you know, he was an old school guy with these 21st century sensibilities. I mean, he'd look you in the eye, he'd listen to you. I mean, he was protective. I mean, I love to tell people that he always insisted in the press that people never call the Playmates former Playmates. He always said, once a Playmate, always a Playmate.
Like an Eagle Scout.
Much like an Eagle Scout.
Yes. Right, yeah. Exactly. But I mean, that's the way he had an attraction about him that was beyond time constraints and beyond age limitations. And so it's not surprising that these young girls were attracted to him, and vice versa, of course.
Now, have we moved past the age that if a woman wants to take her clothes off and pose, that's her business and no one should be all weirded out about it? Have we moved past that now?
I sure hope so, because it was a staid outlook then, and much less now. And, you know, one of the things that I'm so happy about is I had the chance to meet his son, Cooper. And Cooper is, I mean, he is like a clone of his father. And he also, I can tell that his dad taught him very well about this magazine and about, you know, the way to build a brand, and because he has improved upon it. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of the magazines recently, but the women are gorgeous. The articles are fabulous. You know, he's got, you know, literary genius involved, and he does a little bit of nostalgia where he does throwback photos, and there's a little bit of everything in the magazine. And quite frankly, I think it's better than ever.
Well, it's funny you say build a brand. Bill and I both had Cooper in the studio, very charming, and as Bill pointed out, almost a clone of his dad.
Exactly right, yeah.
But, you know, building a brand, they decided to take some of the naked pictures out of Playboy for a while, and then Cooper was instrumental in getting that back. Wasn't that a weird decision, talking about building a brand, and then all of a sudden the brand went away with no naked women?
Well, listen, it's like McDonald's without hamburgers. I mean, it was obviously a stupid move. And those people, by the way, were offhandedly fired. And, I mean, thank God Cooper had control of it or was given control of it. Yeah, that was a poor decision. And the people that were placed in that to make that decision obviously didn't know anything about Playboy. So I'm glad we're back on track for sure.
Candace, when we had Cooper on, it was just under a year ago, I said to him that the Playboy that I remember when I was young was built on having women on there who were kind of like girls that you knew, girl next door types that seemed accessible. And like, I could meet this girl somewhere and we could fall in love. And that kind of went away. They became very polished and plasticky and fake and blonde.
That's where the beginning of the almost end occurred, because the women were all, you know, a lot of cosmetic surgery. I mean, it was the exact opposite of the girls next door. And once they got away from that kind of a philosophy, that's when the magazine started to flounder. And, you know, happily, like I mentioned before, Cooper's got it back on track. The women are very natural beauties. And like you said, they look like they're very accessible and somebody you would meet, you know, at your local bar or on the street somewhere. So I don't know what all happened there. I have got going a little sideways on his choices for Playmates. But, that was not a pretty part of the Playboy history, in my opinion.
Candace Jordan on the line with us. She has written a blog that we picked up at ChicagoNow.com. You can follow her on Twitter. You're Candid Candace, correct?
Right, yeah, thank you.
And her website, CandidCandace.com. When was the last time you spoke to or saw Mr. Hefner?
Well, it was a couple years ago. I was just looking through some of my photos, and there was four Playmates that we had a very intimate luncheon at the mansion. And it was Patty Connors, Jimmy Connors' wife, the tennis legend, and Monique St. Pierre and Deborah McMurray. We were all Playmates from the 70s. And Patty had her daughter, Aubrey Connors, there. And I am telling you, it was the most charming luncheon. He signed, you know, copies of everybody's magazines, their covers. We had this long chat. His hearing was not what I remembered it to be, but he was still all there and thrilled to be sharing memories with girls that he remembered and loved. And it was just a moment that I will cherish. And, you know, recently we were invited out to the Midsummer's Night's Dream Party, which occurred like a month or 2 months ago. And so sad that I did not go out there. I had a conflict, but in hindsight, of course, which is always 2020, yeah. I would have gone in a heartbeat. But, I was happy to have that last memory of him and to see him doing well. He walked with a little walker, you know, obviously. His mother was over 100 when she passed. And so I think everybody who knew him always thought that he would have her genes. And, you know, I mean, because he never lost that twinkle in his eye. And, he seemed and always appeared much more youthful than his age as a number. And so, you know, even though he was 91, it was still quite a shock when it happened, and it'll be a hole in my heart that will never be filled.
Oh.
When you think about the golden days of Hugh Hefner, so you met him right around the late 70s, right? 78, 79? 74. All right.
Yeah.
So when you think about that era's Hugh Hefner, mm-hmm. What surprises you about him? Because I've heard people say that for all he had going and for the empire that he had built, there was almost a shyness to him. Is that true?
Oh, he was very shy. He was, that's another aspect that was so charming. Yeah, he was very shy. I mean, he was quiet, he was soft-spoken, and but he was just so deeply intelligent, and he felt so much. He was so sensitive. He was a very sensitive person. I mean, when he would see slights to other people, it would hurt him probably even more than it hurt them. I know that when his personal assistant, Bobby Arnstein, committed suicide because the feds were hounding her to spread evidence about him that was non-existent, I think that was the deepest, darkest part of his life, and I think that that's exactly what drove him out of Chicago to L.A., because this place started to hold bad memories for him. So, he was a very sensitive soul, and that was part of his charm for sure.
Candace, I don't know if you ever saw this book. I read a book in college called Thy Neighbor's Wife. It's written by a guy named Gay Talese, really good author, mm-hmm. and there's a whole section of the book about a Playmate named Karen Christie who had mm-hmm. fallen in love with Hugh Hefner, only yeah. to realize, like at first, it was a very open lifestyle, a very open relationship, and then Karen realized that Mr. Hefner was carrying on with Barbie Benton,
right.
and that really
yeah.
upset her. I imagine that went on quite a bit in Hefner's world, where it was very open and free, but at some point you'd realize this isn't a very traditional relationship, and that might not work.
No, you know, and Karen Christie was living at the mansion when I moved into Chicago, and I knew that they had a relationship. But the point is, he never promised her exclusivity. And, you know, he was always upfront about the fact that he was not a monogamous man. That's why he left his, you know, marriage with Millie that produced, you know, Christie Hefner and her brother David.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why he created the whole Playboy lifestyle, is because that's who he was. And so the women that came into his life expecting him to be different or change were disillusioned. I mean, and it was their own fault, because he never pretended to be anybody he wasn't.
All right, something I learned in the blog that you wrote, Losing Hef by a Bunny Who Loved Him. Why don't you share with everyone who he will be buried next to?
Well, he's going to be buried next to Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
The first Playmate, and the woman who set the magazine on its path to greatness. And he bought that plot, oh, God, I don't know how many years ago. I mean, maybe when she first passed, but he's had it and held on to it forever, and so it's a fitting resting place for him.
And when you close your eyes, and you like, if I just say to you, Candace, Hugh Hefner, and your eyes are closed, what's the picture? What are you seeing?
I see a man with a little crinkled eyes and a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye, like I said, that he knows a secret that you don't know yet.
Well,
he always did. He always.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
We are truly sorry for your loss.
You're kind, but it's going to affect the world. There's no question. I mean, his legacy, and you know, it's quite frankly, now that he's passed, there's going to be so many more people that know all the many more things that he did that was just outside of the world of publishing, which I'm happy about.
Seems like a pretty good man. I got to be honest with you.
He was one of a kind, and it was an honor and a privilege to have known him and been a part of that organization.
Candace, thanks for telling us these stories. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thanks for letting me talk about my friend.
Absolutely. It's Candace Jordan. You can follow her on Twitter, Candid Candace, and she has a great blog site right now on ChicagoNow.com called Losing Hef by a Bunny Who Loved Him. Take care, Candace.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank you. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You're a little shaken by this death of Hugh Hefner, aren't you?
You know, it's the strangest thing. I've always had this admiration for him, and I think this is why. Not only did he help a lot of guys, you know, who were transitioning from their early years to teenage years to adulthood. He really did, you know. But other than that, a lot of his interests and mine are almost the same. He had this thing for old movies. He had this great movie theater built in his mansion in Los Angeles. And once a week, they would invite all these people over, and they would just show an old movie. And they were still doing that as of last year.
Really?
I don't know if that stopped recently. But he's been doing that for years and years and years. He's also this huge pinball fanatic. He collected pinball machines. And every once in a while in the magazine, they'd show, you know, his game room with all the pinball machines. And I would just be so envious. And then there's just the obvious of starting a business when everybody tells you, well, this isn't going to work. Nobody wants to read a magazine like this. And it became such an empire. So
I am shocked you didn't try and dress as a female impersonator as a bunny and try and get in to play pinball and watch old movies with him.
I should have done that. Or maybe just been an apprentice. Hugh Hefner and Lou Leffner. That would have been great. I would have just followed him around and taken notes. What do you need me to do? Clean the pinball machines? I can do that for you. I'm in.
Well, 91 years old, you know, I know his mother lived to be over 100, and you think when your parents live to be that old...
It bodes well for
you.
It does.
Yeah. But, you know, 91 is nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
I mean, 91's pretty good.
He did a lot of things in his years,
yes,
there's no
did.
Doubt about it. And, yeah, he'll be missed. It's Hugh Hefner passing away last night at the age of 91. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll close things off in just a few minutes. So stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.